from the land of
welcome
the free
back, Chiefs
and the home
Kingdom
of the Chiefs.
To the field by GHA at Arrowhead Stadium. Definitely some new things developing for what goes on in your daily trek, or at least Sunday trek, to the stadium. We're going to talk a little bit about that as we get into a couple of free agent loves, crushes anyway, as well as taking our first look at this draft primer, how we're going to get started. We'll switch over probably next week and talk a lot of draft. It's coming up. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
No, Ryan is not excited to talk about the draft. I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. And you can hear him chuckle in the background.
I mean, I try to hide it, but I guess I'm just not very good at it. So, hey.
You've never been good at it. So,
congratulations to the Chiefs and GHA to get that deal done. And I was hoping that if it ever came to it, that this is the way that it would go, that you name the field at Arrowhead and you don't give up the Arrowhead name. I can't see how they would have ever done that, but I was in the back of my mind, you just don't want to see that.
No, and I get that. And so I'm glad that they got it done and now it's done and over with and you won't be thinking about it for a while. I do think that this is going to be something that more and more teams are going to go to. I know a lot of teams have already adopted something like this, but I fully expect that we're going to see it more and more often. It's an easy way to add revenue. And this is something else I kind of talked about, we've kind of talked about a little bit when we talked about the salary cap implications. This doesn't affect the salary cap. This is a straight cash move, but it does help the Chiefs and it does help teams because they have more cash to spend year in and year out now.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? Is cash is king at this point.
Yep. Don't get me wrong. They have to worry about the salary cap, but cash is everything when it comes to the spending for these teams. But we need to dive into something else because I think this is going to be something that's going to be bigger throughout the NFL in the next couple of years.
I'm sorry to cut you off, folks. Lower the flags to half staff. Apparently, Anthony Sherman has retired. Just hitting Twitter right this second. I might break into tears. Good Lord. It was a heck of a run. If this is true, and this is just Anthony putting something out about retirement, congratulations on an incredible career, Sherm. And wow, that's going to make a difference. I'm sorry to derail you. I just popped up as we were doing this and I didn't want to, feign my shock. So, yes, cash is king. Anthony certainly will have some, but at the end of the day, being able to be, adjustable, viable to make moves, I think all comes down to your cash flow.
Absolutely. And yeah, it does look like Anthony Sherman's retired. Looks like he's going to become a sheriff's officer, maybe. I don't know. Interesting.
And the heavens wept.
Well, that will really change things for Kansas City. You have to wonder if they're really not going to replace him on the roster with another fullback and they're going to go a different way. We'll have to talk about that more next week. The news that hit, though, is Ben Roethlisberger restructured his contract, signed an extension with the Steelers. He is getting $14 million this year. It frees up $15 million of cap space. He's getting a $13 million signing bonus with 1.75 base salary. But here's the key, and here's what's sticking out to me about this, and here's why I think it's such a big deal. They did a one-year deal with Roethlisberger to make this work, but they added four more years to avoidable deals on the end of it.
So this is really not, folks, this is nowhere near that length of a contract, right? So you put the voidables on there so you can spread out the cap hit.
Right. And the signing bonus hit. That's what they're doing. They're spreading out the signing bonus of $13 million over 5 years. And he's only going to play. He's only on this contract for one more year.
That's a whole lot more palatable than what they had, right?
Right. So he's going to cost them about $4 million on the cap this year.
I'm shocked that, that's a lot to go through. And yes, it allows you to spread it out and make it not such a cap hit each season. But that's still a lot of effort to go through to bring back Ben Roethlisberger, who I thought kind of floundered down the stretch. I don't know if it's just a lack of a viable option in terms of your draft position versus your evaluations, or just the fear of the unknown and losing someone who's been at your helm for that long.
Well, he definitely floundered, but I think what you're seeing is he's taking a big pay cut to take this. He took a $5 million pay cut to have this contract. I think both sides are admitting that he isn't what he was once was. and this is the way that they can try to compete.
Well, and spending is what it's all about. The cash on hand to do things like free agency, which is what we're going to get into coming up next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing. And BetOnline even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news, every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are going to get into what this draft could end up looking like, because as we've told you all week, there's a lot of fish to fry. There's some free agent options out there as we've looked at this week. And we'll start today by looking that as well. When I look at the tackle specific market that's out there, it's really, really thin. I mean, there are guys in the top 10 tackles available, the guys that you know, like Cam Irving. So that tells you just like the level of where the play is. I don't think specifically on the left-hand side, like we were talking about yesterday, that with Schwartz's surgery, with having Niang in there, Duran as well, who's played snaps, like you feel probably that at least there's volume they can throw at the right-hand side. But the left tackle side is probably more of a concern, knowing that you're not going to see Eric Fisher for the first half of the season. Bigger miracles have happened, but I just can't see it in any way right now. So when you look specifically at the left tackle free agent group, there's nearly nothing there. The guys that are going to get contracts in probably Villanueva, I think probably will. Okung might. Trent Williams certainly will. They're all over 30. The only two guys that are available right now, and that we'll get to this in a second, are Julian Davenport and Kelvin Beachum that are under 30 years old. I don't think that I want to invest in either of those guys. So Dan like
Robinson.
Oh, he is 26, isn't he? I forgot about that. I don't want to invest in him either. Yeah, I was looking at age. Guys,
so.
But and that's the thing, is I don't think there's right now an investment out there that the Chiefs should really pursue that, or that they think that they should pursue and actually get production on the field. I will say this though. There are always cap casualties, and the left tackles around the league are going to make a little bit more money than the right tackles. And as teams scramble to change their cap numbers, you might see some other veterans get released at the position that might make more sense. And then it comes into the Mahomes factor, I think.
I would argue that I could see a situation where Okun or Williams are in Kansas City next year. I don't think it happens. But I could make an argument that I could see both of those guys wanting to chase a ring versus trying to get a huge contract, considering the money that they've made in their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the fit of either of those guys, but it's a big upgrade over what you have right now on the roster, since Fisher's more than likely not going to be available. And if you could get him to do a one-year deal, I think that that's something that the team could probably handle. Of all the positions to invest a lot of money, left tackle is definitely something you want to invest money in. So you probably got to pay them a little bit more than you would want to, but that's definitely something they could do. I wouldn't be shocked if they take a look at Cam Robinson. I understand you don't want to touch him, but I wouldn't be shocked because Veach does like reclamation projects. The guy's 26 years old, and he's coming off a contract that only paid him $2 million last year. So I think that that's maybe a cheap way that they could go if they think that they can get him in here and get him to playing to a serviceable level. The issue that you're going to run into is if you don't get somebody in free agency that you can step in and do what you want to do, then you're going to have to try to draft somebody, and then you're going to have to possibly move up to go get somebody that you think can do it, or you're going to have to change what you do on offense, and you're going to need to get a blocking tight end that you can have that's helping your left tackle on most plays. Because you can't have both. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, that's true. The functionality on the field is what the bottom line comes down to. I don't think Cam Robinson even fits the athletic profile of what they're looking for. Now, that said, we talked a couple weeks ago about, you know, what if they are changing their what they're trying to do? What if they want to run more power? What if they want to be more physical and not rely on athleticism. But then I think maybe the options open up a little bit, particularly in the draft. But
and I agree with you on Cam Robinson. He probably doesn't fit what they want to do. But at this position and with where they are going into this year, I don't know that you have the option of trying to stick to what you really want. And I make that argument only because left tackle is such a key position and you don't want to risk Mahomes' health. Now, Cam Robinson isn't great, but if he would be enough to get you, and here's the other side, and this is kind of what we talked about earlier, is Cam Robinson enough to get you through the first, let's say he gets you through the entire season, and then Fisher's able to come back for the playoffs. That opens up your offense. Who cares how you do in the regular season as long as it doesn't get Mahomes killed? Who cares if you end up losing three or four more games than you maybe should because your left tackle isn't good enough to get the job done consistently, but then you are able to get Fisher back and you're able to go back to more of what you want your offense to be for the playoffs. I just think that left tackle is going to be a position that it's going to be very paramount that they figure out, and they've got to get something figured out, hopefully in free agency, if they possibly can, though there's really nothing on the market.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm resolved to as well. Like, I do believe it is probably their highest priority. I know everybody wants receivers. I think the Chiefs do too, but I think that they realize just what not having their starters be available did to them to finish that season and what could have been another championship.
And here's the other thing with Cam Robinson. Could he move in and play guard if need be? I mean, does he give you the option of moving inside if somebody gets hurt in the playoffs and Fisher's back for the playoffs? I would think that that would give you, you know, another option that could be a help inside.
Yeah, I don't know that he's ever taken any guard snaps in the NFL, but that'd be an interesting concept to roll through. I just don't. I'm just not sure of the fit overall.
I get it. He's the only young person. He's the only young guy out there that was playing a lot of snaps last year that I think could possibly worth kicking the tires on.
Okay.
Because if you're looking at the rest of them, they're all over 30. The only other guy that played 87% of the snaps or played over 80% of the snaps was Sam Tevy. And you don't want to go there.
No, I don't think you do.
So unless you go with an older guy in Williams or Okun or maybe Villanueva or even Marshall Newhouse, I don't see how you're going to get a free agent for that position.
Yeah, unless again, there's somebody cut here that we don't know about today in March, the first week. Free agency, I think, will change that. And the draft will certainly change that. And the draft always changes everything. And I'm kind of leaning that's where the Chiefs need to look for this position. But we need to get into their overall concept of how they're going to go about this draft. As we get closer to it, we'll be interrupted by free agency, which will reset some of those things. But I think coming up next, we're going to get into overview of what the primer needs to be for this draft. The chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on whims like the airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend twice the money for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. So before we get to a full-on overview, because I think it is going to be about my general theme is getting younger. That draft always does that for you, but it's got to be a little bit specific. I think you have a couple of, at least one thing from iTunes that I think we should talk about.
From A Hinton 8811, do you see a scenario where if there is an early run on QBs and someone like Micah Parsons falls out of the top 10, Do you see Brett Veach giving up future assets to move up into the top 15 to get him?
That is a big question for multiple reasons.
Yes, it is. And I will caveat my answer with this. And I hate doing this, but I have to. It depends on free agency. Everything depends on free agency in that regard. You can't go in and make that kind of move unless you get a lot of your pieces filled in free agency.
That's absolutely true. And there are other factors as well. One is talking about this particular player, Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is not a fit for what the Chiefs have done the last two seasons with Spags' defense. He is not a coverage linebacker. Yes, he can drop into some zones and he's okay. But he is a forceful, attacking, border on an actual pass rusher type attack, downhill kind of linebacker. And if, like I said a couple of days ago, if Spags wants to change that and go back to that, which I think he did some more of with his time with the Giants, when he actually used the linebacker as the fifth pass rusher to create pressure, I'd be all for that because that's what Parsons does well. He's attacking the line of scrimmage, getting towards the pass rusher and making tackles for loss. But other than that, he's not truly a fit. So that's a difficult projection to make in and of itself. And then you get, I think the bigger aspect of this is moving from 31 to, let's just call it 15. I think there's so many draft assets that would have to be given up in this particular draft that it would cost you on a year that you have to, I think, acquire more draft picks than you have currently.
Probably. I can't imagine that they're going to go make this type of move unless they just knock it out of the park and find a way to sign just about every hole to fill. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the player anymore. Parsons, I agree. I don't think he fits what Kansas City wants to do, but I could see Kansas City moving up. I don't see them moving up to 15 because you're right. It's going to cost too much.
And at the end of the day, this is, I think, right now, what do they have, 8 draft picks? I think they have to come away with 8 or 9. And you know that Brett Veach is going to move around. Now, I'm not saying he won't move up, but I think he's going to have to move up one way, move down another. At the end of the day, they have to acquire picks in order to fill out this roster. And I think despite the value of what Parsons is, if he were to fall, I don't think for this particular team, I don't expect that kind of change in philosophy with what you do with your linebackers. So I think it does come back to how can they compress this draft? How can they maybe move back if they can find a dance partner out of 31 in order to add another fourth round pick or something along those lines? It kind of, my whole idea is take all the picks that you have and try to compress everything into those picks between 40 and 120 and get as many players as you can in that range. Because I think that gives you the best chance of actually bulking up the youth on this roster that you can rely on for not just 2021, but for 2022 and 23.
Yeah, and the other key that they're going to need to figure out, and this is somewhere where I think Veach has done well, and I think maybe what they need to look at and continuously try to do every year is maybe get rid of their seventh round picks and try to trade up and get, you know, a better player. And then really focus on those guys that you think you can go get that could be UDFAs that you can bring into the roster. Because if you can get one or two of those a year, that's a huge help for you as well.
Yeah. And I think there's always options out there. Like Farrell, one of the tight ends from Ohio State that you guys saw in the championship games. He's going to be a UDFA. He might be a seventh rounder at the very earliest. But I think you can get him as a UDFA. I think he brings enough variable skill set that you could use him. That's just one example. Bigger question, and I think I know how you'll answer this, but I need to ask it anyway. I don't think the Chiefs are going to take all of the draft picks as they're slated right now. Do you?
Is that really even a real question?
Yeah, well, I had to ask it.
No, there's no way. I would be shocked if they take half. Well, I won't say half, but I would be shocked if they don't trade away a third of their draft picks in some way, shape, or form, whether it's moving up, moving down, whatever. I could see him easily making 3 different moves, between now and draft day.
I think that they have to. I, in particular, I think this is a year to emulate Bill Belichick and move from 31 back into the upper 30s or the lower 40s. I don't think I would go back any farther than 44. But that gives you, what, 10 teams, maybe 12 at the outside, that you can try to negotiate with, open it up a little bit so that maybe you can find a dance partner, because I think they would have been open to trading back this last draft. I don't think they found anybody that was willing to do it. So hopefully that comes through, because I think at the end of the day, the draft primer overall for this team is that Brett Veach will do whatever he has to do to get the players that he feels can help them. And this particular year, it's got to be more than I think we've seen in years past. I think the last two draft classes have had contributors. What, 2-3, I think, is on average what we're seeing. I think that's got to be more this time. I think that as well as the last two draft classes have contributed, I think you have to have more volume in years to come, particularly out of this class. And I think that's something that Brett Veach, who I think will fall in love with somebody. I think that happened with Clyde. I think that happened with Breland Speaks. And I think he will go get his guys because he likes a certain aspect of their game. I don't think this is a 100% pure best player available team anymore.
No, I definitely agree with that. But I have to ask you this, back to our question that we started this segment with, and not necessarily Micah Parsons. I understand we already answered that. Do you think it's possible Kansas City moves up to the top 20 to go get somebody? If there's somebody that falls that fits one of their positions of need, could you see them moving up to the top 20 to go get him?
I don't necessarily see them going up, because I think the volume of need and the volume of players at that position that I think have solid grades is going to be enough that they don't have to do anything overly aggressive. Because I think at the end of the day, there's only 20. I actually give less. I think the teams are more likely to give probably 22 to 24 first round grades. I think the Chiefs will have opportunity even at their pick there because of what they see as unique ways to get players into this offense, in particular defense as well. But I don't see them going up even to 20. Do you?
I don't. I would love to see them be able to move, but with as many places that they need to figure out, unless they, like I said, unless they hit it out of the park in free agency and are able to backfill a lot of holes with the $177 that they have right now in cap space. I can't see them moving up to go get somebody. There are some very big needs. I guess I will say there's one caveat. I don't think they would do it for a wide receiver, although I think I could see Veach wanting to. But if for some reason there's a top left tackle that seems to fall and they can't, and he's just still sitting there at, 16, 17, 18, then maybe. I could see it for that.
Yeah, just to have him on hand.
Well, because to me, you're in a cap situation with Fisher that you've got to get figured out for the future, one. And two, left tackle is probably the second biggest position on offense that you have to get figured. The second biggest position on offense that you absolutely have to have somebody solid there.
Yeah,
and that's true. If you think that whoever you're going to draft is going to be able to step in and be a 10-year starter, then to me, it's worth trading up to get, because if he can keep Patrick healthy, that's what's important. As important as Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are to this team, nobody wants to say how important Eric Fisher and how important he played a role into this offense.
Yeah, and that's fair. I look at it this way, particularly the tackle position. I think there's two or three at the top. And I think there's a lot of guys in the lower 20s to mid 50s. So that's one of the ones where I think the volume is actually in an advantageous position for the Chiefs. But then again, their number one guy could be one of those guys that falls. So you never know.
Right.
At the end of the day, they're going to do what I think is going to be a very tricky job this year in this draft in trying to address specific positions as well as getting the volume of athleticism on this roster even higher. So it will be a challenge, and we're going to be with you every step of the way. We will have free agency. We will have draft profiling. We'll go through the athleticism matrix. We'll do the whole nine yards as we lead up to the draft. I've been looking at defense so far this offseason. We'll get into the offense as well, but the film reviews and comments will be coming as well. So we hope that you guys stay tuned. Let us know what you want to hear and see here on the show in the iTunes reviews. We appreciate the 5 stars. you guys have been giving us. That always helps us get found by more and more Chiefs fans and helps us bring you better content. We appreciate all the effort.
Thank you for listening to us today. We'll talk to you Sunday. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.